Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
I love to hear that song on a pop station at work when, you know, because it's a crossover song. And for a while, crossover songs didn't really communicate clearly what the core of the gospel is all about. They were just, they could be used in a way that if you were a Christian, you perceived it as a song about Jesus. If you were not a Christian, it was just a love song for your lady or your guy. And that kind of crossover just was a song that played in the Christian world for Christians, the pop world for everybody else. But I can only imagine it's a different kind of crossover. I like what Phil Driscoll said. He said, it's okay to crossover as long as you, as musically, as long as you take the cross over. Amen. And this song, certainly by Mercy Me, takes the cross over. And I still enjoy sitting in the break room. They always have actually a phone with an intercom system on it, and it plays that music in the background. Some pop station is locked in on it, you know, just the pop easy listening songs. And right in the middle, you know, somebody's just sung this torch song for their loved one, and then Mercy Me comes on again. And it happened this week again. I can only imagine, and the name of Jesus is being mentioned in a secular setting on a secular station, and it just thrills my soul when people really, really take the cross over. Because without the cross, it's not the gospel. It's something, it may be Christian entertainment, it may even be something compatible to the world, but the real issue that separates the world from Christianity is the cross. It's the cross. Paul said, if I glory, if I boast, I will boast in the cross, whereby I am crucified to this world. This world is crucified to me. There's no way around what happened on that cross and the claims that it makes. Without the shedding of blood, there's no sacrifice for sin. Without the shedding of Jesus' blood, pure, sinless blood, there would have been no resurrection. If his blood was not sinless, he would not have raised from the dead. And if he had not raised from the dead, meaning that God accepted that sacrifice, then the Bible said, our preaching is in vain. We've been found to be liars. And we are still in our sins. And there is no resurrection from the dead. Talk about hopelessness. That's why sometimes on Resurrection Sunday, when people are so busy cooking hams and making potato salad, they miss church. Something as crucial to the faith as that. I wonder. It can't help but give you pause, can it? I had a musician call me one time, one day before Easter. No, it was Easter morning. Yeah, her sister let us know, didn't even call. Talk about disrespect for the things of the Lord while saying we love him and singing love songs. Easter Sunday, core musician calls. No, sends message. I'm not coming. Going to the beach. On Resurrection Sunday, when all these potential souls are coming. And I thought, you know, the Christian world, I thought everybody that said they loved him, loved him. And I was wrong about that. And I thought everybody that sang songs to him or about him meant it, the words, the lyrics. And I found out that was not so. And it's a harsh reality to face pastorally, to have to deal with that reality. Still stand up and smile and preach on Sunday as if everybody's given credibility. But over the years I've learned that there are those who truly love Jesus Christ. They don't come to church to show off their talents, play an instrument, do something, hold an office. They come because they love the Lord. And they love the brethren. It's one of the signs of the new birth, one of the many, but one of the absolute imperatives. We know we've passed from death to life because we watch Christian television and send in an offering. No, because we love the brethren. We care about one another. We see each other as part of his body. And if we love him, we're kind of stuck with each other, aren't we? Praise God. Because we are members of his His body. We are His members in particular. Amen. We're bone of His bone, the Scriptures. There's a spiritual relationship here that I'm still trying to get my mind wrapped around. I probably won't until I see Him face to face fully. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Hallelujah. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and they will not be grievous unto him. The true test of love is not what is said in words, but what is done in deeds, saith the Spirit. That's why it is also written, love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The foundation for all true obedience is genuine love for me. For I am blessed by your obedience when you give it out of love. And you are blessed into giving it, saith the Spirit of God. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody who said they loved Him, loved Him. And everybody who sang they loved Him, meant it. And people would follow Jesus and be faithful. Oh, how wonderful that would be. Sooner or later, you watch people that have played the church game fall away. Going every Sunday, after a while, it loses its draw. The cross loses its, because there's nothing going on except what's happening in the building. There's nothing happening in the heart between the Lord and the individual. You can't just love the Lord by sitting on a pew somewhere. You got to get involved in a relationship. That's what we're teaching on WMAF this week. One of the great amazing things about grace is that we can have an intimate relationship with God. Can you say amen? And so we're just excited. I told the radio audience I'm excited about preaching these messages that examine. I'm going back to the fundamentals and foundations of my faith, back to the cross and examining grace anew and afresh. And I, if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved all over again. It's better than when it was preached to me. I'm telling you, what I'm preaching today is better than what I had preached to me. I mean, I had holiness or hell preached to me. That was about it. I didn't know much about intimacy and love. I just knew I didn't want my hide to fry. Can you say, man, I wanted to escape the pangs of hell, and I ran to Jesus, sorry for my sin, wanting to get out of that predicament I was in. But I have learned that God called me to more than to go to heaven, and He's called me to something greater than even escaping hell. He's called me to be His child and have an intimate, personal relationship with Him. For truly, our fellowship, John said, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He loved us, and He gave Himself that He might, what? The just suffered for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Not just get us to His heaven or cause us to escape the damnation of hell, but to bring us to God. Why? Why is He bringing us to God in reconciliation? So that we can have fellowship at the cool of the day. Amen. That means morning and evening to me. Amen. It's cool in the morning. It's cool in the evening. That means in the cool of the day, before sin separated us from our Creator, God came down. He wanted and initiated this. God came down every single 24-hour day in the cool of it, and He walked with Adam. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have loved thee as I loved ancient Israel with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness I have come for thee and sought thee out and drew thee unto myself, saith the Lord. Rejoice and be glad, for thou art a people, yea, close to the heart of your God and your Savior. Rejoice and be glad. I listen to your prayers, not just because I see your faith, but because I love you, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's what gives me such faith, to know that He listens because He loves. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for singing so good and singing that song like you meant it tonight. Praise the Lord. I love to hear people sing from the heart. And I particularly love it when people sing a song that I believe they believe. Amen. I believe you're excited about Jesus coming again and seeing him and knowing him. Pray for the broadcast. If you'll continue to pray, it is an outreach that is effective. We've had extraordinary response, having been on the air only one day a week and not being constantly before the people in a five-day broadcast. I was on WSOL 5 days a week. And I'm on this station one day a week, but evidently God has taken that one day a week exposure and done something extraordinary with it, and had people commenting on it, coming to the station to thank them for carrying the broadcast and calling when the station is knocked out by lightning, upset because they didn't get to hear the broadcast. That is very extraordinary. The reason I'm saying it's extraordinary because I've been in media ministry, and it's rarely, unless you're soliciting something through the mail system, which I never do, never have, and as far as I'm concerned, never will, because I want to be different, and I don't want to be misunderstood, and I don't want my motive to be misconstrued. I am willing, ready, able. God has given me the health to work like I work and to do what I do, and I'm grateful for it. It stretches me to my very limits, but that means I'm giving my all for Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm excited about that. I think some of the things that I've had to endure for standing for the truth that I stand for is a form of persecution. And the Bible said when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And that's what I'm working for. I'm not looking for it all to happen here. Amen. I'm not looking for a reward here for everything. A lot of it is not going to be here. The majority of our reward is going to be on the other side. How many know that? Paul talked about the glory that was going to be revealed, and he said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. I want to continue this morning's message because we're on a very limited time here tonight, and if you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me simply to 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. And I'm going to read to you from the Chronicles of David's mighty men of valor that committed themselves to him out of all the tribes of Israel when they saw that he was a king that God was with, and they were out from under Saul, who was a tyrannical king who killed the prophets. Now they had a king who loved God, amen, and they believed and they knew, they saw the hand of God on David's life earlier. They knew that God would be with them because God was with him and he was their king. And they were excited about standing with him to defend Israel. So they brought their choice soldiers to join him out of every tribe. They brought the weapons of war. Those that were good with spears and bows and arrows and slings stood. And the Bible said these men were battle-proven men. So they offered their services to David to stand with him and to fight for God and country and king. And among them were some people that didn't carry swords, and they didn't carry spears and shields and slings and bows and arrows. These were the children of the tribe of Issachar. And the Bible said they brought something else that was crucial to victory and crucial to defending Israel from an enemy. And among them was the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. We hear so many different messages today, it's actually confusing. There are people telling us how to live better here, and almost like Jesus is not coming and that we're not in the end times. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm pursuing a place for my head at night. I kind of like having a house to go into at night. How many enjoy having a place that you're not out in the mosquitoes and out in the rain? And so there's nothing wrong with praying and believing and trusting and securing a home. Amen. There's something wrong when you're trying to meet a status quo that somehow your identity is wrapped up in the size of your home. That becomes a real issue to Christians because our identity is all wrapped up in Jesus. Can you say amen? We're rich because of eternal life, not because of our worldly possessions. So our value system has to take a grand shift. There's a message out there that if you're not driving an Escalade and living in a home in a gated community, you are somehow substandard in your faith. That is an erroneous message. It is not biblical. If that be the message, Jesus was a royal failure, and so were his followers. And I've read the books that try to twist and construe something different, but they're phony baloney. They don't line up with Scripture. Amen. If you're rolling in dough, amen, you don't have to find a coin in a fish's mouth to pay the temple tax. If you're rolling in dough, you don't have to You don't have to work a miracle and take a poor boy's lunch to feed the multitude. You can just have it catered at the end of the seminar. Can you say amen? If this world was, and this kingdom was so important to God, and it is important that you have your clothes, it's important that you have food. I'm young and I'm old. I can say it now. Praise God. Amen. If 60 isn't old, I don't know when it starts. People look at me, don't